A Story Publishing presents Foundations of Fortune. We are writing a prologue for an audiobook about real estate investment in the U.S. The prologue should be around 5,000 characters, about 1,000 words, and must be in third-person omniscient perspective. It should set the stage, introduce key figures, provide essential background, create urgency, and end with a reflective moment. Key elements from the manuscript. Distinction between residential and commercial real estate. Key metrics: net operating income, NOI, capitalization rate, cap rate, cash flow. Current market conditions. Housing deficit, 3.8 million units. Interest rate hikes from 3% to over 7%. Remote work migration to Sunbelt metros like Phoenix, Austin. Valuation methods, income approach, sales comparison, residual land valuation, financing, FHA loans, low down payment, REITs, partnerships, tax considerations, depreciation, state differences, e.g. California Prop 13 versus Texas. Case study, Atlanta duplex. Prologue structure. 1. Setting the scene. Describe a specific moment or place that represents the broader real estate landscape. Use a city that exemplifies current trends, e.g. Austin, Phoenix, Atlanta. 2. Introduce key individuals, limit to 4 to 5 figures. They should represent different aspects of real estate investment, e.g. a first-time investor using FHA, a commercial investor, a REIT manager, a tax strategist. Use brief anecdotes to illustrate their challenges or decisions. 3. Background and context. Explain the housing deficit, interest rate impact, migration trends, and why real estate matters now. Make concepts like cap rate and NOI accessible without jargon. 4. Urgency, intriguing question. Highlight the tension between high prices, scarce inventory, and the need for housing. Pose the question, how can investors navigate this complex landscape? 5. Reflective moment. End with a thought-provoking insight that leads into the book. Narrative approach. Start with a vivid description of a city experiencing growth, e.g. Austin with tech influx. Introduce characters through their real estate endeavors. Weave in explanations naturally, e.g. when mentioning a character's investment, briefly define cap rate in context. Convey urgency through the character's stories, e.g. struggling to find affordable properties, facing high interest rates. End with a broader reflection on the American dream of property ownership and the challenges of today's market. Characters to introduce 4 to 5. 1. Maria Rodriguez, a first-time homebuyer investor in Atlanta using an FHA loan to buy a duplex, represents residential investment and leveraging. The late afternoon sun cast long shadows across Austin's burgeoning skyline, where construction cranes punctuated the horizon like steel sentinels. Below, streets pulsed with the energy of a city transformed. A once sleepy capital now swollen by an exodus of tech workers fleeing coastal hubs. In a modest coffee shop near the University of Texas, Maria Rodriguez pored over listings on her laptop, her brow furrowed. A nurse by profession, she dreamed of leveraging her savings into a duplex, lured by federal loan programs requiring minimal down payments. Across the continent in Columbus, Ohio, James Chen surveyed a skeletal warehouse frame rising near Interstate 70. As an industrial real estate specialist, he recognized the site's strategic value in America's reconfigured supply chain, a tangible response to pandemic-driven shifts in logistics. Meanwhile, Elijah Johnson monitored dividend distributions from his Manhattan high-rise office, overseeing a real estate investment trust capitalizing on the insatiable demand for distribution centers. End of prologue. And in a Sacramento law library, Sophie Williams dissected tax codes, advising clients how California's rigid property assessments diverged from states like Texas, where taxes surged alongside market values. These individuals, separated by geography yet united by ambition, navigated a landscape defined by intersecting forces. A national housing deficit, accumulating for over a decade, had squeezed inventory to historic lows, while the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes had abruptly elevated borrowing costs. Such pressures collided with remote work's enduring legacy. Families migrating toward Sunbelt suburbs, corporations relocating headquarters, and warehouses multiplying near transport arteries. For Maria, this meant competing for scarce Atlanta duplexes. For James, it translated to fierce bidding for Midwest industrial sites. Their endeavors underscored a universal truth. Real estate remained a bedrock of wealth, yet its pathways grew increasingly labyrinthine. How could one harness its potential without succumbing to its pitfalls? The answer lay not in chance, but in mastering the financial alchemy that converted brick and mortar into enduring value. As dusk settled over Austin, a question lingered in the air, as palpable as the humidity. In an era of scarcity and soaring costs, could disciplined strategy unlock the door to prosperity? End of prologue. Real estate investment represents a cornerstone of wealth creation in the United States, demanding precise understanding of its fundamental mechanisms. We begin by distinguishing between residential and commercial assets, two primary categories with distinct operational frameworks. Residential properties, such as duplexes or single-family homes, house individual tenants under shorter lease terms, typically 1 year. Commercial assets, like retail spaces or offices, cater to businesses through multi-year agreements, often incorporating lease structures in which tenants bear operational costs. This divergence directly influences income stability and management intensity. Central to evaluating any property is net operating income, the annual revenue remaining after subtracting operating expenses such as property taxes, insurance, maintenance, and vacancy allowances, but before mortgage payments. Consider a $250,000 residential duplex generating $1,800 monthly rent, $21,600 annually. Assuming documented industry averages, operating expenses consume approximately 40% of gross income, yielding a net operating income of $12,960. Contrast this with a $1,000 commercial office space leased at $8,000 monthly, $96,000 annually. With tenants frequently covering taxes and maintenance via triple net leases, expenses may drop to 25% of income, producing a net operating income of $72,000. These NOI figures enable calculation of the capitalization rate, an essential metric quantifying an asset's unleveraged return. Expressed as NOI divided by current market value, the cap rate standardizes comparisons across property types. Our duplex example yields a 5.2% cap rate, $12,960 by $250, while the office space reflects 7.2%, $72,100. This differential highlights commercial real estate's typically higher baseline returns, counterbalanced by greater tenant turnover risks and regulatory complexity. Cash flow, the actual profit after mortgage payments, further illustrates this divergence. Assuming 75% financing at 7% interest, the duplex's annual debt service of approximately $13,160 would create negative cash flow despite its NOI. The office property, however, with annual debt service near $53,000, maintains positive cash flow of $19,000. Such contrasts underscore why investors must analyze both asset classes through disciplined financial lenses before capital allocation. Subsequent sections will build upon these principles, examining how market dynamics and financing structures shape these outcomes. The persistent U.S. housing deficit, quantified by Census Bureau analysis at 3.8 million units in 2023, forms the structural foundation of today's market pressures. This gap, accumulating since the 2008 financial crisis through chronic underbuilding, intersects decisively with monetary policy. The Federal Reserve's 2022-2023 interest rate hikes elevated 30-year mortgage rates from historic 3% lows to sustained peaks above 7%, compressing buyer purchasing power by roughly 25% for median-income households. Paradoxically, while existing home sales contracted by 18% year-over-year, prices remained elevated due to constrained inventory, demonstrating supply's dominance over demand elasticity. Remote work's normalization reconfigured geographic preferences. Stanford University research confirms 40% of employees retain hybrid or fully remote roles, accelerating migration from coastal hubs to Sunbelt metros. This catalyzed suburban single-family demand, visible in markets like Phoenix, where suburban permits outpaced urban cores 3-1. Austin, Texas exemplifies this convergence, a 20% cumulative rent surge from 2020 to 2023, Zillow observed rent index, followed corporate relocations by Tesla, Oracle, and Apple, which collectively added nearly 28,000 tech positions. Vacancy rates fell to 5% despite accelerated construction. Industrial real estate reveals complementary dynamics. Supply chain restructuring after the pandemic amplified warehouse demand, particularly for bulk distribution centers near transport corridors. Material costs, steel and lumber alone, rising 34% from 2020-2022, combined with labor shortages to delay projects. Consequently, Class A industrial properties in logistics hubs like Columbus, Ohio, achieved cap rates below 4.5%, reflecting intense investor competition for scarce assets. These interconnected forces, scarce housing, recalibrated migration, and logistical repositioning, define today's investment landscape and set the stage for deeper valuation methodologies. Valuation techniques transform these principles into actionable criteria through three established approaches. First, the income method quantifies returns via capitalization rates. Consider a $400,000 apartment property with a documented net operating income of $28,000 after taxes and maintenance. Dividing NOI by value, $28,000 over $400,000 yields a 7% cap rate. If local multifamily averages hover near 6%, this asset demonstrates superior yield efficiency. Transitioning to sales comparison, we examine a Los Angeles triplex through multiple listing service data. The subject property contains three units within a 4,200-square-foot structure built in 1985. Comparable recent sales anchor the analysis. One triplex sold for $1,150,000 at 4,000 square feet, adjusting plus $25,000 for size. Another at $1,100,000 for 4,300 square feet, but constructed in 1990, adjusting $15,000 for age. And a third at $1,220,000 with identical dimensions but inferior upkeep, adjusting $10,000 for condition. Reconciling these adjusted values, $1,175,000, $185,000, and $1,230,000, establishes an evidence-based value range of $1.1 to $1.2 million. For development sites, residual land valuation isolates lot worth by deducting costs from projected completion value. A proposed residential building carries an appraised end value of $1,200,000. Construction expenses total $700,000, incorporating regional averages for materials, labor, permits, and fees. The residual calculation, $1,200,000 minus $700,000, assigns a $500,000 land value, establishing the maximum acquisition price that preserves target profitability. These interconnected techniques, income capitalization, sales adjustment, and cost subtraction, provide empirical triangulation for financing and acquisition strategies. Government-backed loans offer accessible entry points for individual investors. Federal Housing Administration financing permits primary residence acquisitions with merely 3.5% down payments, far below conventional loans' 20% thresholds. For a $200,000 property, this translates to a $7,000 initial outlay plus roughly $3,000 in closing costs. Leverage amplifies returns. Assuming $14,000 annual NOI and $13,800 in mortgage payments covering principal and interest, the investor realizes $200 in cash flow plus $1,000 in principal reduction. This $1,200 annual gain against a $10,000 cash investment delivers a 12% return, outperforming the 7% yield from an all-cash purchase. Institutional participation occurs through real estate investment trusts, publicly traded entities owning diversified property portfolios. By law, REITs distribute over 90% of taxable income as dividends, providing passive exposure. Industrial REITs such as Prologis leverage scale to acquire logistics hubs, delivering 3-4% annual dividends alongside appreciation potential. Partnership frameworks bridge direct ownership and public markets. A 70-30 equity split exemplifies this. A capital partner funds the entire acquisition for 70% ownership, while the operating partner contributes expertise in sourcing, management, and renovations for 30%. Distributions align with these percentages, whether from rental income or eventual sale proceeds, democratizing institutional-grade opportunities and mitigating individual capital constraints. Federal tax provisions further shape investment economics, most notably through depreciation allowances. The IRS permits owners to deduct structural wear and tear annually. Residential assets over 27.5 years, commercial over 39. For a $300,000 residential building, excluding land, this yields about $10,900 in annual non-cash deductions, sheltering roughly $2,600 at a 24% marginal rate. Section 179 deductions also allow immediate expensing of up to $25,000 for qualifying upgrades such as HVAC systems, accelerating savings. State policies introduce stark contrasts. California's Proposition 13 caps property taxes at 1% of assessed value upon acquisition, limiting annual increases to 2% regardless of market appreciation. This creates predictable liabilities. A $500,000 home might incur $5,000 yearly taxes indefinitely unless sold. Texas imposes no assessment caps. Taxes average 1.8% of annually reassessed market values. So a similarly valued property could see bills rise from $9,000 to $13,500 following a 50% valuation surge over 5 years. California's model prioritizes owner stability but constrains municipal revenue, while Texas's approach aligns collections with market dynamics at the cost of ownership volatility. Location-specific tax projections therefore remain integral to cash flow analysis. Targeting Atlanta's east side, where census data show 15% population growth since 2020, an investor identifies a duplex listed at $350,000. Comparative market analysis validates the ask. Recent sales of similar units in Grant Park and Cabbage Town adjusted to $345,000 and $362,000, confirming the price aligns with prevailing transactions. With value established, income analysis follows. Each unit commands $1,375 monthly rent, totaling $33,000 yearly. Operating expenses, calculated at 41.5% based on regional taxes, insurance, maintenance, and vacancy, deduct $13,750, yielding a $9,250 NOI. The resulting 5.5% cap rate positions the asset competitively against local multifamily averages. Financing proceeds via an FHA loan, a $12,250 down payment plus $7,750 in closing costs secures a $337,750 mortgage at 6.5% interest. Annual debt service totals $25,620, creating initial negative cash flow. Yet a 3-year projection reveals strategic viability. 3% annual rent growth elevates year 3 NOI to $20,470, narrowing cash deficits while principal reduction accumulates $14,100 in equity. Concurrently, 3% annual appreciation adds $32,600 in unrealized gains by year 3, demonstrating adaptive Sunbelt positioning. This systematic workflow, from valuation to financing to trend-responsive holding, exemplifies empirical execution. Empirical trends also affirm capitalization rates as vital inflation buffers. Rising rents elevate NOI, while fixed-rate debt remains static, enhancing real returns amid monetary volatility. Suburban migration patterns reveal durable shifts. Single-family demand has increased about 15% since 2020, redistributing growth from coastal urban cores to Sunbelt hubs as remote work persists. Sectoral divergences illuminate strategic priorities. Midwest industrial properties, anchored in logistics corridors such as Columbus, deliver 9% average cap rates, CBRE 2024 data, leveraging e-commerce expansion and supply chain reinvestment. Coastal residential assets, by contrast, average 5% caps, JLL Research. due to regulatory constraints and high entry costs.
Remote work's legacy crystallizes in commercial real estate rebalancing. Class B office vacancies may stabilize near 18% nationally, while last-mile warehouse requirements intensify near residential clusters. Investors prioritizing inflation-responsive sectors, industrial, necessity-based retail, and adaptive reuse opportunities will likely navigate coming cycles most effectively, particularly in markets demonstrating job growth and demographic tailwinds. This synthesis of quantitative discipline and trend responsiveness ultimately defines prudent capital allocation. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.